Good morning. Please turn with me in God's Word today to Psalm chapter 61. Psalm chapter 61. 6-1. I'll be reading the whole of the chapter this morning. Psalm chapter 61. I'll be reading the whole of the chapter this morning. This is God's inspired and infallible word. Let's give ear to it this morning. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, and my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life, and his years as many generations. He shall abide forever. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. This morning we're looking at a psalm that is not so much different from most of the psalms in which David finds himself in distress. And with the Lord's assistance this morning, we'd like to point out a few things from this text and see if we can draw out some application for the church. First of all, I want to look at David's distress and the nature of David's distress. Secondly, we'll look at David's humble petition before God. And third, we'll consider David's assurance and answer to his petition. Hear my cry, O God. These are the opening words of the text of today's passage. And one of the first things that we can glean, beloved, from the text of this psalm, just like many of the psalms, is really a comforting reminder. And that is that although we read in Scripture that the Bible that we consider the inspired word of God was written by holy men of old, those holy men are not levitating above the rest of us. Amen. Those holy men of old, beloved, were men of like passions, like temptations and trials with you and I. And those holy men who wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to give God's word to us, at the end of the day, when all is said and done, they were sinners in need, constant need, of the grace and assistance of our God, just as you are and just as I am. Moreover, what we can glean from this text is that David, given the opening statements here, is in a dire situation. This is not a nonchalant or casual plea that that David makes towards his God this morning. I can only picture David in this circumstance as he is praying unto the Lord. David is crying out to Jehovah with his voice, pleading for God, hear my cry, O God. We get a little bit more insight into the nature of this distress when we look at verse 2 of our text this morning. David says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Literally, David's heart is overpowered. David's heart is being overrun, as if waves and billows of distress are consistently crashing upon him, so that he is overpowered and weakened under the stress and the weight of this trial.
That's right.
Child of God, I want to ask you this morning, have you felt in your battle against your great enemies, against this ungodly world that we daily have to walk in and live in, against the temptations and the afflictions of your own sinful flesh, and against the accusations and temptations of your adversary, the devil, have you gotten to a point, child of God, where you've said, my heart is overwhelmed? Have you felt as though, in your walk with God, the billows, the waves of affliction, whether it comes from medical necessities, whether it comes from everyday responsibilities, whether it comes from relationships, or whether it comes from the weight and the guilt of your own sin, have you felt the billows and the waves of trial crashing over you such that you feel as though you are about to crush under the weight of it? David did.
Amen.
And if your answer this morning was yes, well, you might perhaps be able to empathize a bit with the psalmist this morning. And moreover, beloved, if your answer was yes, well, this psalm is not just written for David. This psalm is written for you. This psalm is written for me. This psalm this morning is written for any weary, burdened sinner who has gotten to the point where they can say, my heart is overwhelmed. But now this leads us to a pretty obvious question, and that might be, well, why? Why, David? Why? What could happen to you right now that's bringing you to this point? There are a few observations that I think we can make from this text that will help us in that area. A really easy starting point would be the fact that David, in this psalm, is on the run from somebody. That's evident when we look at, again at verse 2. David says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Now, for an ancient Israelite, the center of the earth would have been none other than the holy city. It would have been Jerusalem, where the tabernacle of God was, where the people of God dwelt in worship of their God, the place where Jehovah, under the old covenant economy, had chosen to cause his presence to dwell in a unique way, in a special way, among the people of Israel, in a way that no other nation had known at that time. That would have been the center of the earth. And so for David to say, from the end of the earth, I will cry unto God, well, David is not where he normally would be. David is on the run. He can't be in Jerusalem if somebody is after him. And this also becomes clear when we look again at verse 3 of our text. David says, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. David is running from the enemy, from some unidentified foe who is trying to take his life, potentially. Now, of course, David had to deal with enemies, it's fair to say, all of his life. David was constantly undergoing various trials, and that's one of the reasons why we read about it so frequently throughout the book of Psalms. But commentators have noticed, beloved, that David did not write this psalm, and the events that he's speaking about in this psalm did not occur prior to his kingship over Israel. This is not dealing with his trial against King Saul. If you recall, before David had actually taken the throne of Israel, Saul was king over Israel, and Saul had gone after David and attempted to take his life, thinking he would usurp the throne. But if you'll notice in verse 6 of our text, David says, thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. So this indicates to us that David had already been seated on the throne of Israel at this point in time. And most commentators are agreed that David, in this particular instance, would have been speaking not of his trial against King Saul before he took the throne, But with his trial against his own son, Absalom. And you can read about Absalom. We don't have time to go there. But in 2 Samuel chapter 15, we can read about the story of David's wicked son, Absalom, who was attempting to kill David and usurp the throne over Israel. And so not only, if we're adding all these things up, not only is David on the run from an enemy trying to kill him. And beloved, again, I would ask you, just try to imagine if you could, the anxiety and the stress of literally being on the run from someone trying to take your life. Constantly having to look over your shoulder because you know somebody is after you. And not only does David have to deal with this, but David has to deal with the fact that this enemy who's seeking to take his life is his own flesh and blood. It's his own son. People of God, if you could imagine, as crazy as it might seem, one of your closest family members or friends, whether a spouse or a parent or a son or a daughter, seeking to take your life. What kind of anxiety, stress, and conflict that would create in your heart and in your life. It's almost crazy for us to think about, but this is exactly the situation that David finds himself in this morning in our text. On top of all of that, David can say that his heart was overwhelmed for another obvious reason, and that would simply be the isolation. Again, we read that David is calling unto God from the end of the earth. David is isolated in some sense from his God dwelling in Jerusalem. David is isolated from the people of God in Jerusalem. David is not able to partake in the regular worship of God. He's not able to be in the Lord's house to hear the preaching and the teaching of the law by the Levitical priests, which David loved to have done because he delighted and rejoiced in the worship of his God. And now here he is being isolated. But on top of all of these things, perhaps the most glaring reason for why David could make this confession, that his heart is overwhelmed, would have undoubtedly had been his own sin. For before we read about David's trial with his son Absalom in 2 Samuel 15, we read prior to that about David's sin against Uriah the Hittite. And with his wife Bathsheba committing murder and adultery. And in 2 Samuel chapter 12, before we get to 15, the prophet Nathan had confronted David. And the Lord told David explicitly, David, the sword will not depart from your house. And so when David is experiencing all of these trials, including having to be on the run from his own son, God had told him, evil will come up in your own household, David, as a result of this sin. When David is having to deal with this trial in this text this morning, he's having to be reminded of the fact that it is the result of his own sin and his own rebellion against the Lord. Who in such a circumstance could not say, my heart is overwhelmed? But beloved, even if our sin does not carry with it these direct, dire consequences, I'm willing to wager that nobody here is on the run from anybody this morning. But even if that isn't the case, it doesn't need to be for sin to have that much more impact upon the child of God. Sin does not need to carry with it these direct, dire circumstances for us to feel the same weight and guilt and burden of sin that David would have felt in our text this morning. Such that the child of God, in facing the reality of his or her sin and the God against whom they have rebelled, can say, my heart is overwhelmed by this. My heart is overtaken, overpowered by the pressure and the weight of the guilt and the shame of what I have done. Then this brings us to our next point, and that is David's response to all of this. This brings us to David's humble petition before his God. Once again, we note in verse 2, David makes this petition that we sang about this morning. David says unto God, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And the fact that David is telling us that he's going to call unto God from the end of the earth gives us a great encouragement this morning. And that is, whether we are physically or spiritually, as I'm sure David was, afar off from our God, no matter where you may be in your walk, no matter where you may be in trying to traverse the crazy, chaotic, ungodly life and world that we live in, our God is near unto all who call upon him. David was quite literally away from the very glory and presence of God dwelling in the tabernacle in Jerusalem, and yet still, our God was able to hear his prayer and his cry wherever he was. The fact of the matter is, even if David had been in Jerusalem, beloved, no doubt about it, from a spiritual standpoint, David would have had the same reaction that many of us probably have when we're dealing with the stresses and anxieties of life. Whether it's dealing with fear or anxiety from worldly matters, or whether it's dealing with the shame and guilt of our own sin, it's very easy for us to get into this mentality of, well, God is here, but I'm all the way over here. God's people are over here, I'm all the way over here. God is dwelling here. God is holy. God is good. His people are good, but me, I'm not good enough to be over there. I belong over here. I'm too unclean. I'm not worthy enough. And yet the child of God has this assurance this morning, beloved, that even when you feel as though you are quite literally at the end of the earth, separated from God, separated from his people, we can make this prayer our own this morning, that from the end of the earth I will cry unto God, and God will hear me, because he is merciful to his people, and he desires that we call upon him. Moreover, we consider David's petition to be led to the rock that is higher than he. This imagery of a rock is significant. It's one that appears all over the Bible. But the idea of a rock, the basic picture that's being painted here, is one of strength. It is one of stability. It is something that is immovable and firm. And so to be brought to the top of a rock would have simply signified being in a place of safety or a place of protection. When we read in Scripture or when we sing in our hymns about being hidden in the cleft of a rock, we are reading about being sheltered. We're being placed into a place of protection. And so David is not only wanting to be led to this rock, but he wants to be led to a rock that is higher than he, indicating he wants to be delivered from all of the madness down here. But David knows that he cannot get there by himself. I want you to notice the wording of our text. David tells the Lord, he prays unto God, "Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Lord, I need help down here. I need to be up there. But I can't get there. I have no power to get there, Lord. Lead me to that rock. David, much similar to what we read a few weeks ago about the prophet Jonah, you notice a pattern in how the Lord deals with his people? He's powerless. He's helpless to help himself. And so he calls unto God by pleading for God's sovereign grace and mercy. Lead me to shelter, Lord. Lead me to this rock that I cannot possibly reach by myself. Now, what makes this even more striking and even more important when considering this is, what or who is the rock that David seeks shelter in? Is David just speaking metaphorically for protection here? And I think the answer to that becomes very clear in the next psalm. If you want to look at Psalm 62, listen to what David says in verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 62. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. David is asking the Lord, Lord, lead me to yourself. My shelter, my protection is not found whether from earthly danger or whether from the guilt and the shame and anxiety of my own sin and of having to deal with my enemies. I'm not going to find relief anywhere else but in you, Lord. Lead me, God. Hear my cry, Lord. That is David's humble petition to his God. And this humble petition, King David, leads to God answering his petition. And it results in David's assurance and trust that God will answer his petition because David is asking in faith. That's evident when we look at verse 3 of our text. For thou, notice the language here, thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. David knows that God will answer his prayer because God has a good track record with David. God knows that David will answer his petition because God has been faithful in the past, and therefore he has no reason to doubt God in any other circumstance that he may find himself in. And so, beloved, as Christians, as God's people living under the new covenant, living on this side of redemptive history, looking back on how God has dealt with his people, we not only can make this prayer this morning our own, as we should, as you ought to, but we can make this prayer in an even greater light, in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and in light of what God has done in his Son, Jesus Christ. Who is the rock for you this morning, beloved, if not the Lord Jesus Christ? Is not Jesus Christ God Almighty? God and man in one person, Emmanuel, God with us, our immovable rock, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Has not the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, if you are ever wondering if you can trust him, has he not shown himself to be faithful in what he's done for you this morning? In that the Lord Jesus Christ has sheltered all of God's people from the wrath of God when he took it upon himself on Calvary's cross, when he stood in your place, beloved, when we sing about being hidden in the cleft of the rock, that's what we're singing about. About the Lord Jesus Christ as the rock of his church, the rock of his people, sheltering them, protecting them from the wrath due to your sin. For that same sin that you're feeling ashamed of and guilty over this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ has taken it, and it has been punished, and it has been dealt with in him. Oh, how the Lord has shown himself to be faithful to his people and what he has accomplished, beloved. And so this ought to give us all the confidence in the world in this Savior, that if he has gone to such lengths to become incarnate for my sake, to go to the cross for my sake, I can trust him that when I call upon him, he will hear me. The Lord Jesus Christ, moreover, beloved, knows how David felt in this psalm. No man on this earth who has ever walked this earth knows more what it is to cry within himself, my heart is overwhelmed, than the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. If you don't think so, make your way to the New Testament and read just about our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. when he was sweating drops of sweat, as it were, of blood. And what he said when he went to the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And although the Lord did not really say anything else outwardly, there's no question in that moment, beloved, our Lord knew what it was to cry within himself, my heart is overwhelmed as the waves and the billows of the wrath of God for your sin came crashing down upon him on Calvary's cross. So let's make this prayer our own, beloved, and let's recognize the point of this text. If we were to sum up all of this message this morning, is that Christ is the answer for all of the trials,
amen,
for all of the temptations, for all of the troubles that we may find in this sin-cursed and ungodly world. There is always a light to look to. There is always a rock to be led to by the sovereign grace of God, Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you very much.